depths of your heart. As we begin to journey this morning and look into scriptures, trusting God that He will bring us insight that will activate His deposit in our spirit. There are certain deposits of God in your spirit that unless activated, you will never have meaning and reference in life. Most times the reason we come for meetings is not to hear new things. If you get 10 good books, you will hear more than 70% of what you need to hear about God, as far as the revelation of God for your generation is concerned. So the idea is not novelty. The idea is depth. The depth where utterances come from and the depth where you are hearing from. That's why before you come for meetings, you pray. You can hear God loves you from another depth. Your story. Not because it's new, but you are hearing from a depth. And somebody can say God loves you, but he said it from a depth. And it will change your story. So talk to God and ask Him to open your heart this morning to receive His word. The Holy Ghost began to teach me a lot of things and it removed pressure from my life. My labors became different. My labors were no longer about men. It was about fraternity. It was about interaction with the Spirit. I stopped judging things from the plane of the natural. I started judging things from their depths in the Spirit. Ask the Lord to minister to you this morning. I want to share a few thoughts with us this morning that will create an awareness beyond cognitive knowledge, an awareness of the life of God on our inside and how to maximize the same so that our life will count not only in time but in eternity. I told us yesterday one of the greatest plague in life is to have lived a long life but not to be in the radar of heaven. That when you journey out of time thinking you are great and then you get to heaven, they say you are nothing. Meanwhile, you were popular among men. Everybody knew you. Everybody approved of you, but heaven did not approve of you. It's a crisis of life. He said, away from me, you workers of iniquity. It's a crisis of life. Ask the Lord to speak to you and to furnish an understanding on your inside that will make you relevant in eternity. I read the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and I encountered something that shook my foundation. After the Bible listed the heroes of faith and their exploits, he said they shattered the foundations of nations. He said they wrought righteousness. He said they obtained promises. They shut the mouth of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. He said weak men were made valiant in strength and they put to flight the armies. They put to flight the armies of the alien. When he outrightly enumerated their exploits, he now spoke about some others that were sawn asunder. And he didn't call their names. He didn't call their exploit. He said, but those men, the world is not worthy of their names. They were more ranking than the people that the world knew. They had more rank in the spirit than the people that did all the exploits. He said, these ones, you can't call their names in time. If you want to find out their stature in heaven, it's only in heaven you can find out their stature. Because if you call them among men, is you have dishonored them. There's no place you can place them. Meanwhile, their exploits were not numbered. Their names were not mentioned. But in heaven, they are higher than all the generals you know on earth. Ask the Lord to talk to you. See, that's why competition dies. People may think they are fighting you and they are making a mess out of you. What you don't know is that is when you are gaining rank in the spirit. See, this is a puzzle. I told you it's a game of spirits. That moment when the devil thinks he's buffeting you and you are going through hard times, that's when your rank is increasing. Job was prospering. The Bible said he was the greatest of all men in the East. And then the devil came and attacked Job. Meanwhile, in the days of Job's crisis, that was when his true standing in the spirit was revealed. That was when God knew that Job could not insult him. That was when God knew that Job was a true witness. And in Job 42 verse 10, the Bible said God came back and Job received double of everything he ever had. So in crisis, What the devil called crisis was actually a promotion for Job. It was in crisis that his rank was increased. Those things that Job went through in 9 months, the promotion he received in 9 months, he may not have received it in 10 years. See, this is why the Bible says all things work together for good for them that love God. Men think they are buffeting you, they are frustrating you. What they don't know is that they are shutting down the days of your promotion. Because before you prove your righteousness and your faithfulness to God, it may have taken 10 years. So the devil came thinking he wants to frustrate your life. He now choke, he reduces the lifespan, the time duration for you to prove yourself before God. The things you would have gone through in 10 years, the devil constrain it to 6 months. And then in 6 months, you receive promotion of 10 years. So the devil thinks he's fighting you, he's promoting you. It's a manipulation in the realm of the spirit. Can you go ahead and ask the Lord to speak to you this morning? That your circumstance you are fighting can become the greatest blessing of your life. That's why when you go into the future, you don't remember the years when you enjoyed. It was the years that were difficult to remember, because that's when your life is defined. Go ahead and talk to Jesus this morning. You are God from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. You are God.
You are God from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God.
You are God.
You are God. From beginning to the end. There is no place where you went. You are God.
You are God.
You are God. From beginning to the end.
Unchangeable,
unchangeable. Unchangeable, unchangeable.
Reliable,
reliable.
Listen, never worship God religiously. If you want to find out whether a man has a walk with God, watch him when he's worshiping God. This is a game of romance. If you want to know whether a man has a walk with God, forget him when he's preaching. He can be charisma. He can be preaching because he's watching people and a lot of things are happening and anointing is on him. If you want to know whether a man has a relationship with God, look at him when he's worshiping God. A lot of people are walking for God, but they don't walk in God. They don't have a place in Zion. And it's a risk because you may go to heaven with all your labors and God say, I don't know you. That is why you can enjoy everything. When some of you can't even smile when you are worshiping God. You are just like this because you are in church. You are in church. But a man that worships God, the same thing he's doing in the bedroom when he's worshiping God, he will forget that he's in the public. Because what has happened is that he has entered into a romance. So suddenly the dimensions of God breaks upon him. He's no longer conscious of the people around him. Meanwhile, you are seeing people doing like this. The religiosity, it will take you nowhere. Unchangeable God. You are an unchangeable God.
Unchangeable God.
You are an unchangeable God.
Unchangeable God.
You are an unchangeable God.
Unchangeable God.
You are an unchangeable God.
Unchangeable God.
Can I tell you something else? If you want to know a man that has an adventure with God, watch him when he's worshiping God. See, all of us will be singing this song. Some of us is English language in melody. But a man that was in a pit and God came for him. When he say reliable, is the pit where God took him from that he's singing from. You may never have been in a pit before. So it doesn't mean so much. You are singing melody. A man who was stranded somewhere and God stretched his hand and pulled him out. When he's saying unchangeable, he's not singing the same song we are singing. All of you are making the same melody on earth, but in heaven he's speaking from a throne. He has had an experience. When a man is in a plane and the plane is tumbling, about to fall, and then he became hopeless, but he looked to heaven and suddenly God stabilized the plane. Every time he says unchangeable, it is life and death is communicating. He was frustrated, an invisible finger showed up and put him from the pit. See, that's why we are singing the same song, but in the spirit we are in different locations. Gratitude cannot come out of you when you don't have experience. Unchangeable, unchangeable God. Hey!
Unchangeable, unchangeable God.
You are an unchangeable God.
Unchangeable, unchangeable God.
The stature of a song in the spirit is not in the cognitive dimension of the song. It's in the depth of experience that that song provokes. This song you are singing, if you go and sing it to a man that just came out from an accident, he will kneel down and begin to cry. It's not because the anointing of the song have increased. The difference is gratitude. The man just, he was in the bus, 19 people died, he was the only person that came out. So if you say reliable, he will kneel down and start crying. You will think the anointing of the song have increased. No, the anointing have not increased. The gratitude level is different. You may come out of a palace, you stood up from a waterbed this morning, and you didn't see any intervention. It didn't occur to you that the breath on your nostril was an intervention. If God opened your eyes now and you saw that 5 demons wanted to kill you last night, or God told you, or you woke up in the morning, they told you that armed robbers robbed all the houses, it was only your door they didn't enter. You will see this differently. When I sing this song, When I sing this song, I remember the days when I couldn't pay school fees as an undergraduate. When I sing this song, I remember the days when, as a young preacher, I was looking for people to invite me, nobody cared. When I sing this song, I remember the days when I couldn't pay house rent. But all of those things are stories now. It's important for you to judge things the way spirits look judge them. See, we can be singing in church. You think the person leading the worship is the person with the best voice. You will be shocked when God enters the meeting. The person God is hearing louder is the person that is communicating experience. The person leading the song in the choir may have a good voice, but he's just singing English language. When a spirit comes, he's not moved by how cognitive your song is. He's checking the substance of life that is coming out of your spirit. This is why certain things we do in church are the precursors of blessings. A lot of people are not aware. You have not traveled with God, so a lot of things will not make sense to you. You have not had experiences where God showed up for you, so a lot of things will not make sense. You will relate with it as English language. We can come to church if we are grateful. We will sing this song for 2 hours and go home. We have been blessed. This is how spirit train men. You may read the Bible, you will not be knowledgeable until God comes and begins to bring illumination. Bring illumination. And then God reminds you those days when you walk through a dark path, the traps that were set there before you passed and knew nothing happened. He will show you the things he played, the roles he played. Have you been with somebody in a relationship and then something happened? And then you were angry with that person for 5 years. I watched a movie. A lady had some powers. She could control fire. And then one day the brother came in. And then he knew that the father was always trying to stop the lady from using those powers. So the brother came in and saw that the father was burning in the house. And he told the sister, "You can control power, stop the fire." And the sister refused. The brother banished the sister for 30 years. 30 years later, he was still angry with the lady. Then the lady now came and told her the story. That when he was leaving the house and he was quarreling with the father and he pushed the father went and the father was pierced to a wall. So the guy actually killed the father. And then when the fire was burning, the reason the lady didn't stop the fire was because if she stopped the fire, they will see that the father was not killed by the fire. They will see that it was the spear that killed the father. So she was actually saving the brother. And for 30 years she was bearing the body. So the guy that was angry for 30 years broke down and began to cry. What you think you know can be an error until they show you the bad picture. God can come and show you the reason why you went through a circumstance that he was saving you from something else that would have destroyed your destiny. For 30 years you were angry with somebody. Meanwhile, for 30 years the person was saving your life so that your name will not be destroyed. If you see the manipulation in the realm of the spirit, you will know that that relationship that you were embarrassed from, he
It was not an embarrassment. God saw into 20 years of your future. That's why he stopped it. And the only way he would have stopped it was through that path. You will kneel down and you will begin to cry. Unchangeable, unchangeable God.
Unchangeable, unchangeable God.
Appreciate God when they see his intervention. But wise men appreciate God even before they see his intervention.
Yeah,
they know that even their future is already preserved because they have judged him faithful. Can you go ahead and appreciate the Lord this morning?
Reliable God. Reliable God.
Reliable God.
Reliable God.
Worship was not about a good voice. I gave God thanks because I didn't even have a good one. Now it's beautiful to have a good voice, but I saw that worship was the release of the substance of life as a statement of gratitude to God. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this morning. We ask again that you open our eyes to perceive of your essence, of your reality. We ask that you instruct us, you invigorate us, you empower us, so that at the end we will become wise, we will become faithful, we will become diligent in stewarding that which you have planted in our spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Sit down. God bless you. I'll be sharing with us for 1 hour. I'll be sharing with us for 1 hour this morning. And then we'll take time to pray. I told you yesterday that I would try as much as possible to keep it very calm. So that, and not very fast actually, so that you can really interact with what I'm saying. Have you watched or listened to a comedian before? You finish talking. So after 5 minutes, you now realize, oh, this is what he said, and you start laughing. You heard the English, but you didn't understand the depth where he spoke from. So sometimes when we speak too fast, people don't hear half of what we say. They thought they heard us. The guy cracks a joke, and then you did like this. After 5 minutes, you now understood what he was saying. You now started laughing. That's when you got what he said. I pray that God will help us to understand this morning. Meanwhile, spiritual things are deeper than comedy. So mysteries are shrouded in much depth. It will take the Holy Ghost to unveil it to you before you understand. You can hear one sentence and you will learn it for 5 years. Every year the Lord will come and open another layer. Every year the Lord, you thought you heard it. Then you become humble at the word of God. This morning, I want to show us, if I can, the credentials of a territorial warrior. You know, yesterday, we began to establish certain foundations to help us to articulate, both cognitively and spiritually, the depth of the burden and the emphasis that God was bringing our way. Sometimes we are excited about topics, but we don't know the depth. God may appear to you and say, I want to begin to use you. And then you run and tell your friends that God says he wants to use me. What you did not hear is that God is telling you that from that day you will die. You will die to your ambitions. You will die to your plans. You will die to your future. You will die to your appetites. But all you heard was, I will begin to use you. A friend of mine came to me and said, Jesus appeared to him. And he told him, you are the Apostle Paul of this generation. Immediately I said, sorry. Because when I checked his life, I knew that the work that God will do there, he will be crushed. Because Paul was a trained barrister. He never practiced for once. The only time he was given opportunity to give expression to his legal training was when he spoke for himself before the king. And the only recommendation he received is that too much knowledge have made you mad. When Paul read out his credentials in the spirit, it was a sign of a man who is bedeviled. Because part of his credentials were the many times he was whipped. It was the many times he died and woke up. It was the many times he bore injuries and entered the city. They stoned him to death. The believers stood around him, he woke up, and he entered the next city to preach. You know, you preach with golden shoes. You see your shoe now. The type you imported from Ukraine. Paul went to preach with bandages. So when he comes, the people first of all pity him and say, where are you coming from? Come. Let's use hot water and massage you. That's the way Paul entered into cities. He entered with bandage. Sometimes he'll be talking, he'll say, aye. The pain is still on his jaw. So my friend came, when he said Paul, he was looking at Paul's rank in the spirit. He didn't see Paul's crisis and cross. So I said, sorry, you will die. Meanwhile, after 3 weeks, the Apostle Paul went back to his normal life. Up till now, he has not recovered. So it's important that when a spirit utters his voice in your direction, sit down first and meditate on it. Paul said, when it pleased the Father to reveal the Son in me, I conferred not with flesh and blood, but I went into the wilderness of Arabia. Jesus was already revealed to him, but he knew that it was more than what he heard. So he went into the wilderness. He was there for many years. That was when the substance of the revelation of the Christ that was given to him was crystallized. And he came out of the wilderness as a wise technocrat. Some of the things that Jesus himself mentioned passively, Paul sat down and gave us the lexicon of how to build it into experience. Jesus mentioned church. He just mentioned it. But Paul came and defined what the church is about. It was Paul that gave us all the outlays of the church, the lexicon, the depths, the scope of the dimensions of the church. How he was able to enter into that depth of wisdom was because he separated himself. Because there is something that needed to be done to his soul before he can communicate the counsel of God. Because the counsel of God is not English language, it's spirit and life. The Apostle Paul. Paul was not at the feast of the Last Supper. He came out of the wilderness and he began to tell them what Jesus told the 12 disciples. That means in the spirit, it was possible that Paul was traveling to places where things happened, both in the past and in the future. He came, he was telling them how the Lord took bread and broke it and said, where were you? No book of the Bible was yet written. Paul was the first to write the books in the New Testament. How did he know about what God did in the upper room with the apostles? That means he began to travel in the spirit. But all of those dimensions were locked up in what? When he pleased the Father to reveal the Son in me. How he could enter into the past and into the future. How he could enter into heaven and hell. All of that was captured in what? When he revealed the Father in me. So there are certain things and certain dimensions God brings us into. We don't know the scope. God will come to you and say, I want to make you an apostle to the nations. All you heard was a title. You didn't see the dimensions of death. You didn't see the dimensions of wisdom. You didn't see the dealings you will go through. There are times when men will expose you to public disgrace. That's part of the syllabus. You may think because you are an apostle to the nation, you will read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and you are ready. You are a joker. You are a joker. When you finish reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will read about faithfulness. You will read about long-suffering. And then you will quote it. Then if God wants to teach you long-suffering, God will now come and allow a public embarrassment. And that embarrassment will last for 9 months. It is when you stand through it for 9 months that you understand long-suffering. Meanwhile, that's one verse. But you read the Bible in 2 weeks. But you will understand one verse in 9 months. That is why we don't preach everything. We preach what God has taught us. Because the message of an apostle is captured in his dealings. The syllables of your doctrine is captured in your dealing. Anything you have not been dealt in, you don't have the authority to water it. This is why you may be preaching eternal life. Me, I will be preaching alignment. The reason is because by reason of dealing, you have understood eternal life. All of us know the doctrine, but we don't have authority to communicate the same thing. So you hear Bishop Oedipo preaching faith. You will come and say, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You are a clown. Because that faith is teaching. There was a time when he came out of service. His wife just gave birth. And God said, empty everything you have. And he gave all he had. And they went home with a newborn baby without food, without water, without milk. How will he survive? He doesn't know. That's how he learned faith. He didn't only learn faith by reading it in the Bible. He passed through a dealing. Until now, he's a system that mirrors the dimensions of faith. So anything he says is animated. This is why photocopying is a crisis. It's an error in the spirit. It's an error. For us to become territorial warriors, there are certain operations of the spirit we must open our lives to so that our dimensions can begin to find expression. Because your weapon may be your tongue. My weapon may be my eyes. Somebody else's weapon may be his hand. There are different dealings we will go through for our tools to be sharpened so that we can use them. This is why all of us, we study the scriptures, but the dealings that God will expose us to will be different. Because he is trying to awaken us in the spirit and to sharpen our tools so that we can use it for warfare. This is where Bible study migrates from revelation to transformation. But not many are exposed to these dimensions of truth. We see a lot of things, we have little results. Because we don't understand the pathway of dealing. I want to show us very few credentials. You know, yesterday I tried to talk around one. But we couldn't finish because there were too many things to explain. The thing I wanted to talk about yesterday was the nature of God as a credential for a territorial warrior. That was the only point, but we couldn't gather it together because it was humongous. The nature of God. For a man to become a warrior and a prince in a territory, the nature of God must become his DNA. And I'm not talking about what was imputed in you in Christ. I'm talking about what you have been able to conduct in your soul. Because you can have the nature of God in your spirit, but in your soul you are a prince of the devil. So a territorial warrior is a man that has sustained experientially the nature of God. Listen, in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26, before God gave man authority to rule over territories, he said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And the Bible said, in the image of God, he made man, male and female, he made them. And God came and said, let them have dominion. That means dominion is a proponent of nature. Dominion is not a function of your learning. Dominion is not a function of your vastness. Dominion is primarily a function of your nature. Because the moment the man was created in the image and likeness of God, creation came under his authority. And the Bible said something. In Psalm 82 from verse 5, he said, ye are gods, because ye are the children of the Most High God. He said, but you know not, neither will they understand. He said, therefore, the foundation of the earth is out of course. So the reason man lost dominion over the earth was not because he became daft in understanding. The reason he lost dominion was because he fell from a rank in Zion. The nature of God in him was compromised. Therefore, dominion was no longer a possibility that he could conduct within the confines of his habitation. And I told us the devil understands this very intelligently. So the devil comes to violate your nature. Because the devil knows that the moment your nature is violated, you have lost the authority. You may be talking what you are talking, but the results will be different. The reason is because experientially nature is lost. So I told us when the devil comes, the first thing he does is that he invokes darkness into our soul. And I said darkness is not the absence of light. Darkness is actually the manifestation among men of the life of the devil. The same way light is the manifestation among men of the life of God. So anybody that walks by darkness already functions by the nature of the devil. So Jesus came to the Jews and said, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you shall do. So when the devil comes to us, the first thing he wants to compromise is the nature of God. Because the idea was for that nature to be downloaded into our spirit, and through our cooperation and partnership with the Holy Spirit, we conduct that nature into our soul, so that our soul can become an expression of God. Remember, the man that God gave the nature was not yet a spirit man. He was a soulish man. Because in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, he said he breathed into the man and he became a living soul. So the nature that has dominion is not the nature in your spirit, it's the nature in your soul. The extent of God that is formed in your soul is what determines the depth of your dominion. So we cannot do anything about territories unless, first of all, we have become carriers of the nature of God experientially. You can talk and say you are a Christian, you are a believer. You can say you are the righteousness of God. But until something happens to the boundaries of your soul and the righteousness of God you profess becomes an experience, you don't have authority over territories. You can deceive people, you can manipulate a lot of things, but you will check. That's why I told you yesterday, if you want to see the potency of your intercession, go and check the territory you are praying for. It will reveal to you how bereft of the nature of God you have. Nature is a heavy molecule in the spirit. Matters of nature are heavy, and God will not compromise it for 1 minute, because he knows that if the devil gets that aspect of your soul, you are already useless and irrelevant as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. You can be in church walking, but you will not appear in Zion. You can follow them for evangelism, but your words will have no impact. So I told you how that Jesus gathered himself. He gathered himself so much because he knows the reason the people are sanctified was not because he was talking about holiness. You know, we think people become holy when we preach holiness. We think people become righteous when we preach righteousness. We are joking. Go to many places when they shout holiness. They even threaten people with hair. Yet, that's where you see the highest trend of immorality. The pastor comes up and says, if you sin, you will die. You will go to hell. The moment they close from church, you see, oh boy, how far now? Waiting to happen. Two people are leaving a crusade. They are going to home together. What the man said could not travel into their soul because the depth that his word can journey to is the quality of God that has been formed on his soul. Nature. Jesus said, for their sake I sanctify myself, so that they too will be sanctified. Therefore, sanctification is not first of all a doctrinal issue. Sanctification is first of all a quality of the soul of the one who is talking it. And he walked in those corridors until a point came when he said, because of the words that I have spoken to you, you are washed. You are cleansed. You are sanctified. Because I am speaking from a pure fountain. This is why the devil comes to corrupt your soul. Because he knows that you are impotent when your soul is corrupt. 5 of us can gather ourselves and say, Lagos must change. We will pray for 50 years. The devil will be laughing. He will not even come for the prayer meeting to check. Because he knows what we are saying have no power. Before we begin to pray, we first of all come under the government of the Holy Spirit. Until something is done to our soul. A liar cannot convict another liar. It is two liars deceiving themselves. A fornicator cannot convict another fornicator. You may think it's about advice. You advise the person. Even you yourself, when you go to sin, don't you remember everything they tell you about sin? Me, I was a hardened sinner. So, I know. When you are going to commit the same sin you are always committing, you remember everything they told you, yet you go forward. Because advice doesn't have the power to tame a spirit. When a spirit talks, it talks with energy. And if that energy binds you, even though cognitively you know the right thing to do, you will still walk in error. That is why I say they know not. Neither will they understand, because the foundations of the earth have fallen from their courses. The guys know the ways of darkness. They know the powers of evil. They understand the implication of sin. But the power to walk righteously is no longer there. Why? Because nature has been compromised. The devil sets them into perpetual slavery until their voices are no longer heard in Zion. Their location is lost in the spirit. Because the man fell, God came. He said, Adam, where art thou? Adam is still in the garden. And the last time I checked, you are called the omniscient one, meaning you know everything. How come you are looking for Adam? Because what connects Adam to him vitally was his nature. And when that nature was broken, even though he was in the garden, he was lost. That's why many of us are in church, but we are lost. If God comes to church, he will say, Nathaniel, where are you? Meanwhile, when he was saying, Nathaniel, where are you? Nathaniel was preaching righteousness on the microphone. God is righteous. Then God shows into the service and say, Nathaniel, where are you? The guy was screaming on the microphone, but the immortal one can't find him, because the vistas through which your dimensions are revealed is the nature of God. And when God came, there's no connection. He looked upon the garden. The man was still there. He said, Adam, where are thou? Nature is lost. Territorial warriors are people that have conducted the life of God in their spirit until it dominates their soul. So warfare does not begin in the territory. It begins in the heart. That's why I told you that a territory is not necessarily a geographical location. It's a place. If the devil is able to sit in your soul, you are his servant. What you are doing is a joke. You will speak, you can't mobilize angels. You can't even discern God. You can come to a place and assume that when the worship is high, that time the power of God can move. So every time you want to move in power, you ho, 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 ho. And then people who are psychologically destabilized fall down. You say, the power of God was strong in this service. Go and check their life after 3 weeks. Nothing has changed. Because every time a man collides with the power of God, the first thing that happens is transformation. He said in John chapter 1 verse 11, he came unto his own received him not. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave what? Power. And what did the power do first? To become the sons of God. So if people fall down in your meeting, they go back, we give God praise, because we don't know what he's doing. But the first time a man fell down, a rib was removed from him and another being was created. So if somebody falls down and nothing is formed in the soul of that person, maybe the person was overwhelmed. It was euphoria. You know, this is called principle of first mention. The first time a man was slain in the Bible, what happened? His rib was removed and a woman was created, a suitable helper. So if a man falls down and stands up and everything that happened was falling down, it was a waste of divine investment. Every time the power of God moves, people can be slain. People may not be slain. People can even laugh. People can feel vibrations. Anything can happen. But at the end of the day, let it transform the man to a degree. That's how making begins in the spirit. The nature of God. You can be a deacon. You can be a pastor. You can be a prophet. You can be an apostle. But you have no implication in the territory. Meanwhile, people were in the city and Paul showed up. Without announcement, all the princes in the territory knew that a man has come, because his name was an alarm in Zion. No announcement, no publicity. The guy enters a territory and they say, Jesus have come. I saw Jesus when he went to the mountain and proved himself before Lucifer. If you are the son of God, if you are the son of God, if you are the son of God. The Bible said in Luke chapter 4 verse 14, that as he returned from the mountain, his fame went abroad. He has not started preaching. He has not started healing the sick. No miracle has been done, but his what? his fame. The reason is because it was the spirits that announced him. A man who carries God, if he shows into a territory, the first people that do publicity are demons. They tell themselves that a high profile personality has come, run away. Take cover, take cover, take cover. Because that man can banish you from this land. So the first publicity that was done for Jesus was not the evangelist. It was the demonic realm. They said the one that has come down is the Son of God. So the Bible said his fame went abroad. No wonder he entered the synagogue immediately and the demons began to cry. Why have you come before your time? Our time have not yet come. Who told them? Nature was raging. So he said, let Adam and Eve have dominion. The reason is because they were created in his image and in his likeness. You can pray for your family for 5 years, nothing will happen. You will go and kneel down and cry and think, when you cry and feel sorrowful, something will change. The person will die. The reason is not because God is unjust. Nature has not been formed. So you can't command spiritual authority. The whole power you need is already available in your spirit, but it is conducted in your soul, and your soul have not become a conduit to conduct the power of God. So the devil, even when you are crying, the devil will come and do certain things around you. He will add depression. Meanwhile, the person is praying but is falling into depression. The devil have known how cold you are and lukewarm, that even in the moment that should be spiritual, he comes and manipulates you. No nature is formed. Warriors are carriers of the life of God experientially. Before you talk power, talk life. It is when life is accomplished that power becomes a byproduct. He said, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. You can't do the business of power unless you first of all have life. Matters of nature are heavy matters. That's what we tried to explain yesterday. And secondly, I need to show you how the nature of God is born in your soul. Because it's not going to be very effective if we just tell you what should be and we don't tell you how what should be. Because you may go back home now and say, Kai, the nature of God is important. But how do you develop the nature of God in your soul? You didn't do anything for it to be imparted into your spirit. But for it to be imparted into your soul, you will do a lot. This is the difference between the grace gospel and the kingdom gospel. The grace gospel is a gospel of receiving based on the finished works of Christ. The kingdom gospel is the gospel of responsibility based on what you have received. Because what you have received gives you or sentences you to a responsibility. That responsibility is what will make you relevant in Zion. It will be unjust for God to just show up and say, you sit on this throne. You sit on this throne. What is the basis? You leave this throne and come, it will be unjust. So the Bible told us a parable that God gave. He called laborers around 9 a.m. in the morning. He called some around 12. He called some around 3. And he called some around 5 p.m. And he paid all of them the same amount. And the people that came in the morning say, why? He said, no, this is the contract you have with me. And you fulfilled your part, I fulfilled my part. Those other ones too, that's the contract they have with me. So it is by labor that God rewards. But one thing ordination does is that it distinguishes our kind of labor. So it's important for you to take advantage, because your own service in the kingdom may be for 3 years. And you thought you had all the time, like Nehemiah. And then you are waiting until you leave for 35 years. So when you want to start, that's when your job ends. Because you saw somebody has started preaching at the age of 10. And he has preached for your own preaching. That's why when I preach with all my life. Because I don't know whether it's only this year I'll be permitted to preach. By next year, God may remove me from the scene and send me to another country and say, go and be a missionary. And I will do underground work for the rest of my life. I will not have the privilege to preach again. So every message, I told myself, I say, if you cut 5 minutes of my clip, 5 minutes, it will change somebody's life. So sometimes before we come to preach, we pray in tongues for 5 hours. Sometimes before we preach, we pray in tongues for many hours. So that by all means, God will alight on it. Because somebody else may preach for 60 years. I don't know whether my own preaching is 1 year. And meanwhile, if God remove you from the scene, some people may come and start saying, we know now, we know. We say this thing no go last. They are puppets. They have not seen into the spirit realm. Our assignments are different. My goal is not to preach like Bishop, but like Papa Adeboye. His duty may be to preach for 70 years because he's a father to the nation. Yes. Me, I'm a revivalist. God may say, preach for 1 year and go away. My job is done. If I go to heaven, I'll receive my reward. So I'm not trying to make this thing last. That's not part of my ambition. To say, this thing must have to last to at least for 20 years is not part of my ambition. I know my contract with God. The day my message finishes, I'm out of the scene. People can say what they want to say. Go to Zion. You will find out who did his job. That's why I told you, some people's name was not mentioned, but the Bible said they are ranking in heaven. But nature is an important matter. What is it that informs your philosophies and your ideologies? It is the life that operates you. You want to get married, what is the operating system? You want to get a job, what is the operating system? Every day you go out, what is the operating system? You may not be aware, but that thing affects the territory more than your prayers. The extent to which God is formed in your soul affects your territory more than your prayers. A man who is of darkness can pray for 5 years, it will have no impact. Because when he opens his mouth, it's an energy he releases into the atmosphere, and it's a negative energy. But somebody who God has so saturated can just utter a word and things will change. This is why God said you should not pride yourself in long repeated prayers like the Pharisees. He said your heavenly Father knows. That means there is a connection now. Nature has been established. So that guy is talking from the realm of sonship. But there are things to do to stir up the nature of God in your soul. You will be shocked as I tell you these things. They are very simple, but those are the things you don't do. So when you see a man become mighty in God, you may think there's a secret. Maybe an angel appeared to him. There are many men that shook this world and never saw a vision. Some never spoke in tongues. Billy Graham never spoke in tongues. But for 55 years, he was consistently in US Time magazine as one of the most influential men in the world. When he died, I'm not talking about kingdom honors yet. Even the world recognized it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When he died, where they placed his corpse was where they placed American president that died on the seat. The whole country shut down because a preacher died, not a president. He never spoke in tongues. He didn't give us any record when Jesus appeared to him or when an angel showed up like this and said, Billy, Billy. Everything about him was so quiet. In fact, I was told that the crusade where he gave his heart to Christ was the only person. You will say, Kai, this crusade was a failure. Why did we spend money? You didn't see far. It was recorded by Wikipedia that he led 43 million people to Christ. Nature. Nature. Meanwhile, you come, you say, and then when you finish praying, even your family, nothing changed. Nature, nature, nature. So when the devil comes, the first thing he wants to do is to choke your soul with darkness. Because he knows that if darkness becomes your operating system, everything you do will be an effulgence of darkness. You may pray and you think you are praying intelligently, but it is an energy of the devil you are emitting. So when the devil comes to attack the sons of the kingdom, he begins from their nature. He fights their nature so that they can be compromised on the inside. And when a man is compromised on the inside, the Bible says, when the light in you is darkness. So you are calling the name of Jesus, that the hand of God may come down. The light in you is what? Darkness. Because nature is corrupt. So before you talk about matters of territory, you must first of all deal with the space of your soul. There are not too many ways of achieving this feat in the Bible. I will show you two. And then I'll tell you the next credential of a territorial warrior. I thought these things were religious things. I told you part of the family story yesterday. I was preaching everywhere. My people were dying. And it was not natural event. A man sat on an altar. Please sit down. A man sat on an altar. And at different seasons he will come. And he will do a census in the family and point this person and knock the person out. He will come. And meanwhile the preacher was there with Titus. That was when I knew that this thing has nothing to do with religiosity. Men can honor you and say, God's servant. And then you do like this. It's even better when you are becoming old. But in the spirit, you will be light. A demon, a witch on IT can come and shut down family of 15 people. Because there is nobody with stature. You hear that something happens to a man who says he's a spiritual man. And his case is worse than the unbeliever. And then when you check in the spirit, the person who did it was initiated 2 weeks ago. That means that person in 2 weeks has more spiritual intelligence than the believer for 20 years. It's a crisis. Sometimes I wonder how they train these people in the demonic coven. That somebody is initiated today and today the person is flying. Meanwhile, we come to church, we have a vision. We try to make everybody know that we're praying. And then when we open our eyes, we shifted 2 centimeters. We now say we are bilocating. Meanwhile, that is not a news in the demonic realm. Around 12, the lady will conveniently fly and go for a meeting. See this meeting you came for, that you labor to defeat traffic to come here. In the demonic coven, everybody appear on their seat. You don't need to walk into the meeting. If the meeting is 12 midnight, by 12 midnight, everybody appear on their seat and it's not a news. Meanwhile, here, if somebody shows up on the seat, oh! It will go around Nigeria that a superman have come. Meanwhile, that's a normal thing in the demonic realm. You can't come, you fly to your meeting, you show up on your seat. They are more spiritually intelligent. I'm telling you, I told you yesterday that when Jesus was born, the wise men from the east knew that he was born. They traced him, located him before the first prophet knew. They are more diligent about spiritual matters. There are many witches in this state. In order to power what God is doing, every year they fast for 8 months. You fast for 21 days and it's a city-wide announcement. And they have run that schedule for 15 years. And then you come because 12 of us gather. We say we want to shake this territory. You don't know the powers of altars. Those who have been long in the demonic realm, as long as you have been in church, you'll be shocked what they can do. Those are the things who you are still talking about as stories. So you come for your meeting, you are quoting Benson Idahosa. You are quoting Babalola. And then you say it loud to invoke things. But a witch who is your mate in the demonic realm, he doesn't need to quote it. He will just come. He knows what will happen if he does the sound like this. There is real-time interaction. They understand the business of spirit and they understand the game of interaction. We now, an angel appear to you and it's a news. And you will say that news for 10 years. But these guys interact with demons every day. Because they know how to manage the nature of the devil. But we don't know how to manage the nature of God. So the things that should be realities, they have become breaking news. And we talk so big. One witch in a family of 15 people. Every day they are talking how that they have power over the devil. Meanwhile, the witch never makes a statement. The only statement he's making is that after 3 years, somebody will die. And the believers will wake up and say, "What is happening? What is happening?" Then after 6 months again, they come up. "God, we have power over. We will tread upon scorpions and serpents. And nothing by me." The witch will never say anything. After 3 years, somebody will die. And then when it becomes too much, they will now invite intercessors. And then they will pray for something to happen. When I saw these things, I said, I will never be fake. If it means staying and being unknown for 10 years, I will stay there. But the devil should not make mockery of our faith. We even come to church, people are falling down. We are screaming, "Power, power, power." But real life and real time challenges of people cannot be handled. You go to your office, that's your power. Nobody notices you have power. You go to the market, nobody notices you have power. And then when you come to church, you sing familiar songs. And you tilt the emotion of people. They say, "Power, power." Nature, the nature of God, must become an operating system in the life of every believer if we will affect our territories. How is the nature of God developed in your soul? One is by what you feed on. You see, the human nature dies when you stop feeding it. It's a real-time experiment. If you don't eat for 3 days now, your eyes will become like this. If somebody talks, you say, hey, what did you say? You say, no, I said, how are you? Everything they say, they'll say it 3 times. Now, if you have, for those who have stretched for 7 days, after 3 days, on the 4th day, hunger will diminish. Because somehow your body will become used to feeding itself. But what will happen is that you notice that all your joints will become heavy. You want to carry your leg like this. Your leg will be like the leg of 3 men. The body is shutting down because you have not fed it for 7 days. Meanwhile, there are some of us here where for 4 months we have not fed our spirit. So when you see your spirit man is like this, you are wondering why you want to stop lying but you can't. It's because the nature of God is dying. You are wondering why you want to do certain things for God, but you can't. The nature of God is what? He's dying. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. He said, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. How do men live by bread? In Matthew 6:11, he said, give us this day our daily bread. So man live by bread daily. The same way your spirit was what? Live by the word of God daily. Every day there must be a light from God's word that your spirit encounters. You pursue it. And when I say the word of God, I'm not talking about the logos. I'm talking about the rhema word of God. That means you may need to sit down and meditate on the word of God for 2 hours. But by all means, make sure that light breaks upon your soul. He said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13, he said, until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Because what you are pursuing is not the knowledge about God, it's the knowledge of God. God must break out of his word as a vote of light into your spirit man. If it means you will sit down and read for long until something is crystallized from the word, you will sit there. If it means you will meditate until something is crystallized, you will sit there. And if nothing is happening, you pick a message. That's exhortation. You listen until your spirit contacts something. That's how you live. And it's a daily routine. Billy Graham said he read 3 Psalms and 1 Proverb every morning for inspiration. That's not his study yet, though, for inspiration. So without miracles, preaching only 1 sermon for 68 years, he was gathering stadiums. You think it's about intelligent preaching. So when you come, after 5 minutes, you talk this. The guy was preaching John 3:16 for 68 years. His message was the message of the cross. And in the last sermon where he preached, the message was streamed to more than 70 nations. He was in one nation, and there were screens in stadiums. And stadia were packed in different nations. People were in different... The man was not raising cripples. He was just preaching what? For God. Before you came for the meeting, you knew what he would preach. But there is a force that will still drag you to come for the meeting. Because they knew how to service the nature of God. They serviced it every morning. There is no day that they have not caught one light from the word of God. They sat there. He said, my son, in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20, he said, give attendance to my word. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. He said, they are life to them that find them. They are life. You want to quicken the nature of God on your inside, you will eat the word of God like bread. In Jeremiah 15:16, he said, I found thy word. I did eat it, and it became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. This part of Christianity is not the euphoria dimension. There's no excitement about it. Because when you sit alone and you are looking on the word of God, you will not jump up and shout. But this is where the spirit of a man is invigorated. So suddenly you come out, and then the Holy Ghost wants to express himself through you. He flows like a river. Because you are saturated with the word of God. There will be no scarcity of utterance. It's easy for the Holy Ghost to navigate in any direction because you have been flooded with light. When you see a man struggling in the spirit, there is deficiency of light. He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. He said, the life was the light of men. So when a man interacts with the Word of God, naturally God flows out of him as light. And I told you, light is not absence of darkness. Light is that dimension of God's word that breaks out of you, that confounds darkness. So darkness is there, notwithstanding, but God prospers through you. So you come to your family, they say, nobody will graduate, nobody goes to school. Before you know what is happening, you are in 400 level. You are not praying about it. The reason is because light is shining in darkness. They put poison for people, they match it and their legs swell up. You match the same poison, you didn't know. 3 days later, the person comes and kneels down and says, who are you? Who are you? I put poison yesterday. You matched it. How come you have not died? Light is breaking out of darkness. The reason is because you have interacted with the word of God. Most of the things you pray about, they are actually things that will be the key of wonder. But because there is no light breaking out of you, it becomes a challenge. When a man is saturated with the word of God, the word of God breaks out of him as light. As light. Every strategy of the devil around his life will be like puppets. You know, they said when Samson was bound with chains, he will wake up and he will break it. The people thought they have tied him. Meanwhile, he's enjoying his sleep. When he wakes up, he'll just do like this. The chains will fall. I say, what is, there is something happening on his inside. They tell you this food was poison. You now say, They thought you will now say, hey, God help me. See, light will make us operate at different energy levels. Somebody, they may put poison in his food. By discernment, he will know. There is a man in the East, his name is Venerable Omeke. He went for a meeting. After he preached, they poisoned the food in the morning, gave him. Apart from the poison they put, they broke glass. This guy is a consultant, he's a medical doctor, so he knows the implication. They poured it in the food. When he carried it, he saw something. He dropped it. He carried it again. He saw something. He now said, who brought this food? If I share my testimony, you think I'm proud. So I will not share my testimony. But we tell you about people that are walking in this dimension. Who brought this food? When they traced, they now discovered when they were preparing for the program, somebody suggested and volunteered to be part of the workforce and decided she will work with the kitchen. When you are organizing program, put only people you know in the kitchen so that you are not responsible for killing a vision, because not everybody have light. When they discovered the lady that brought the food had left that morning. So they went and brought the lady. That was when the lady knelt down and was apologizing and said she was paid to kill him. What did you put in this thing? She brought it out, poison. And then she also broke glass and poured inside. And the woman laughed. He blessed the food and ate it. He carried the drink and shot and drank it. They were advising him, sir, please, wait. The guy said, the light shines in the darkness. The darkness does not what? Comprehend it. The devil plans every strategy, but he doesn't know why it's not working. And then these kinds of people grow in it so much that they don't need to do the kind of publicity you do. He said John was in the wilderness. But he said the whole of Judea went to him. What was he saying? Every time he speaks, an angel echoes his voice. So you want to be in your house, but you can't rest until John. If you don't hear John, your spirit man is dry. Because the light shines in darkness. He may not need to recite the Torah, because in his generation, everybody was a reciter of the Torah. All he needed to do was to cry. And even Herod, every time he needed ventilation, he went to hear the voice of John. Because what that guy was uttering was a spirit crying through a mortal vessel. Every time God is formed in the soul of a man, his voice becomes the voice of God. This is why we sit on the scripture. The idea is not to preach. If you read the Bible to preach, you are a foolish man. It says strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. When a man is saturated with scripture, the circumstances that the devil puts in the paths of men in order to shut down their lives, they become places where that man demonstrates the life of God. What you call a limitation is actually a stepping stone for the man. See, we have seen a lot of controversies. When God began to raise us from the woods of Makodi, we didn't know anybody. We didn't even know how we would be known or heard. But stumbling blocks and limitations were littered in our paths every day. And every time a crisis or a calamity comes, before you think, a word of God jumps out. And as simple as it is, you will utter it. And then it will change everything. So we knew the secret of power. The secret of power was the availability of the Rhema word. So every time you see a sick person, before you think, a word jumps out of your spirit. And then you know that if you utter that word, something will change. This is why sometimes we come for power meeting, we say, shut the sound. We don't need sound. All we are doing, we are checking in the spirit for a word. The moment the word came, the prophets of old knew this technology. So they will be like cats, sit down as if they have no power. Wait until the word of God comes to them. Then you will hear, he say, the word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me. So the man can go to the valley of dry bones and begin to speak to dry bones. There is no intelligence by which you can resurrect a dry bone and form an army. But what happened is that what? The word of the Lord came to me. My sisters were old in the house. One was 34 years, two were 32. They were not getting married. All the vigils were done until the word of the Lord came to me. He said, you are a priest over your family. And your word is law. Instantly, I went to them. I say, I discharge you. In 6 months, three of them got married. Because the word of the Lord came to me. See, this matter is a matter of nature. He said, let us make man in our own image and let them have what? Dominion. The moment the nature of God is born on your inside, dominion becomes a byproduct. The word of the Lord. If you know how hallowed it is, you will treat it with caution. It is the most hallowed substance that God commits to humanity. His words. His words are as deep as himself. His words are as potent as himself. God allows the soul of a man to be able to interact with the word because he wants the soul of a man to become an effulgence of his reality. A man who interacts with the word of God, a point comes when his life becomes like a theater. Every time you want to see God, look upon that man. The Bible said when Jesus was walking the earth, he said he was the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. So every dimension of God that was shrouded in the Old Testament, if you want to understand it, look at Jesus. You may be debating the doctrine. Is God willing to heal the sick all the time? You may not even understand it by reading the whole Bible, but look at Jesus. Every time a sick person came to him, he healed him. That means Jesus, God always healed the sick. So if God is not healing the sick through you, it's not because he doesn't want to. You don't know the technocracy of healing the sick. The word of God becomes the unveiling of the dimensions of God. Every time a man interacts with the word of God, that man becomes a mobile theater. Every time you look upon that man, he is lost. What you see is God. This is how territories are taken over. The prophets of old understood the dynamics. So before they spoke to territories, they waited for the word of the Lord to come to them. It's a mechanism of life. But unfortunately, we are not people that do business with the word of God. We read the Bible to preach. That's why we are weak. He says strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern. To discern. So you want to get married, it's not a prayer point. You will be walking and doing your thing, just going like a crazy man on mission. And then suddenly, Bishop Oedipo was in the park and he heard, this is your wife. He went to her and said, marry me. See, there's no, you don't woo them. They know. When they see the man, they too will be aware. It's not a game of wooing. It's two destinies coming together because by reason of ascendancy in heaven, they know the patterns of their destiny. So the lady sits in church. She knows you will come to her. It's not a prayer point. She knows. If you want to fulfill your destiny, the dealings that the Holy Ghost have carried me through, he prepared me to make this kind of destiny work. So she is not praying. She may never even appear to be known. But when a man understands the mystery of the world, the dimensions of heaven will open. Discernment becomes his heritage. Mm. The reason men struggle is because spirit. He said the light of their spirit. He said the light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. But before the light shines, the word became life, and the life was the light. You want the light of God to break out of your fountain, then the word of God must become your daily contemplation. Why do you think Job was great? In Job chapter 24 verse 3, he said, by light I walk through darkness. He said, when the candle of God was upon my head, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacles. He said, I washed my leg with butter. He said, the rocks poured out oil to me. Is that a normal man? He knew secrets. He knew mysteries. He knows how to unlock the heavens so that the rain will come. So when people are crying over season, the guy knows, he knows secrets. He said, Isaac was to run to Egypt like every other person. The word of the Lord came to him. He said, stay still in Gera. And he said, that same year, the guy sowed in dry land, in the wilderness. And he said, he reaped a hundredfold return until a nation began to envy him. He was bigger than a nation because he understood the technology of the world. We can't take territories if we are talking philosophies that are born out of the systems. I see a lot of believers saying things. They even use it to preach. When you find out, where did they get it from? They got it from Big Brother Niger. Okay, so that's what you are feeding on. And then he comes, he thinks it's about shouting. That is why we use tools of manipulation, tools of psychology now, and we call it the move of power. You say things that make people emotional, and then they cry. You say it's power. You use sounds, songs that they are used to, and then, you say it's power. The princes in darkness will look at us and laugh because they know we don't know the secret of power. But in the days of the prophets, a man could sit in the wilderness and then he will stand up like this and walk into the palace and say, by this time tomorrow, what do you think he heard? There is so much poverty in the land that women are eating their children. And then you stand up and walk to the king and say, by this time tomorrow, are you okay? He knows the intelligence of the world. He knows that when the word of God comes, even the foundations of the earth can be reconfigured. Because he said all things were made by the word of his power. We cannot be warriors unless the word of God becomes a potent tool in our artillery. That's why Paul came. He said, finally, my brethren, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. You don't know what it means to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. The mind of God, the ways of God, the philosophy of God, the life of God should become your operating system. It will take you interacting with the word deep, so deep, before that kind of thing can happen. All of us can say we are believers and we go up quoting, I am the righteousness of God. Don't worry. When circumstances come, we know who is the righteousness of God. Let God send all of us to Saudi Arabia. And then you look at ladies that if they sweat will drip until it touches their leg. That's when you will know who is the righteousness of God. See, some people's frame can't bear it. They will begin to shake like this. You go to a place to preach and then all the ladies you see are glowing like Bob. You will know whether righteousness is a reality in your soul or it is just a quote. Or you come to a point where these people throw themselves at you. Oh, you will know who is the righteousness of God. Many of us are talking. When the princes want to check us out, they bring circumstances. He said, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. The reason is because they will look at you. They see your bloodline. They know the things that you people are weak to. I told you yesterday, Abraham lied. Isaac lied. Jacob lied. Abraham loved fair women. Isaac loved fair women. Jacob loved fair women. So if they come to somebody from the Jacob clan, all they need to do is to tailor a very fair damsel. And they will bring it. If you pass that test, then you are truly the righteousness of God. At that point, it's not Z. At that point, it's what you carry on your inside that we speak. The reason most men fall is because they think they are strong. You are not strong because you are zealous. You are strong because the word of God have enveloped your soul. You can't think outside of the word of God. That is why you can see a lady strip herself and you say, this is against the ways of God. Joseph said, how can I commit this evil against God? You will think it's easy until you stand before a queen. You don't know what he passed through. He went through fire, but the word of God shielded him because he had capacity in the spirit. You may think because you are bold, you can challenge the spirit until you confront a dimension that is orchestrated from the demonic realm. That's when you know the only thing that sustains the potency of fighting in the spirit is the word of God. But many people are not flooded with light. So we talk boldly about God, but in the face of circumstances, it is revealed how epileptic we really are. Our weaknesses are revealed in the face of crisis. But men who truly do business with the word of God, is in adversity that you see their strength. The glory of God, the brightness of God is revealed when the man is in crisis. You will not admire the stability of Job's life when he was wealthy until you saw when he was full of sorrow. And they say, insult God and die, and he laughs. Are you like one of the foolish women? Then you will know that a man have traveled beyond the influences of humanity. A man have traveled. Even the devil, he confounded the philosophy of the devil. The devil said, why do you think Job fear you? It's because you have formed a shield around him. God said, go and break the hedge. He broke the hedge. Job was still standing. Job came again and said, skin for skin. A man will give anything for his skin. God said, go and strike him, but don't kill him. His body was littered with sore. He was still standing. So what Job proved to the devil was that I'm not a man. I am an immortal being clothed in a human vessel. If you want to know my dimension, go and study God. Because what I am is God walking in a human vessel. I am a mobile God. Because he said, according to the archive that we have studied in the demonic realm, we know that a man will give anything for his skin. He now hurt the skin of Job. Job was still standing. That's not a normal man. But what makes men travel to that level is when the word of God becomes their operating system. How much of the word of God is in your spirit? You may think you are strong. The reason is because you are among believers. We went to NYC orientation camp about 7 years ago. Bro, the first 3 days we came, I saw many preachers. After 14 days in camp, every evening people were walking two by two. That was when preachers became lover boys on campus. It was only 21 days. So a man's delicate balance can be broken in 21 days. Yes. Because they came under a territorial energy. They didn't know that the camp was not church. They didn't know that the camp was not home where they left. The camp was a hub of darkness. There were many princes that rule over that region. When they came under their radar, they thought it was normal. I was telling you yesterday how certain very good young ladies, they go to campus and in 3 months they are disflowered. The reason is because the energy there is different. Their soul began to interact with energy that they could not handle. So suddenly it choked them. But the only way you can become stronger than everything the devil throws at you is when you are flooded with the light of the word of God. He said, my son, attend to my word. Give attendance to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy heart. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. They are life to them that find them and health to all their flesh. He said, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. So the reason a man is able to stand in darkness and still emit the glory of God is because the heart is guarded. The word of God is his operating system. That is a man that can challenge the powers in the territory. Because when he comes, even if the prince come to him, he will find nothing. Jesus came into Zebulun, and the Bible said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Why was that possible? He said, the prince of this world cometh to me and found nothing. So when Jesus entered the territory, even when he was not yet talking, it was recorded in the spirit realm that light had come. The reason we pray a lot, nothing happens, is because our soul is still clogged with darkness. So the devil may not even attack your prayer. The devil will attack your soul. If your soul is corrupt, you are already his agent. And he said, if a house is divided against itself, it cannot stand. He said, Satan is not divided against itself. What you are doing is a religious show. If you truly want to affect the territory, your soul will first of all come under the government of the word of God. You will make it a practice to sit on the word of God until light crystallizes out of it. He said, until I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. You wouldn't know why Paul gave Timothy such rigid instruction. Timothy was 17 years old when he was the bishop of Ephesus. Paul knew that his youth could be despised. Paul knew that it was possible for him to behave like every other young man. So he said, live your life as an example to other men. But the only way the guy could stand accurate was for him to what? Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Let the word of God become your operating system. Then you can be truly an example. Not just to men, but to princes in darkness. Because what you don't know is that God uses us as an example in the spirit realm. When Job came and thought he had colonized the whole world, he said, "Have you seen my servant Job?" God will not boast of a man unless that man is stable on the word of God. He said in Isaiah 33 verse 6, he said, "Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times." The reason you see many men fluctuating up and down, there's no light. The word of God have not formed their philosophies. The word of God have not formed their ideologies. Their thinking pattern have not yet been reconfigured by the word of God. But a man who travels enough with the word of God, he becomes a spirit among men. He becomes an immortal witness among humankind. Even God in heaven can boast of that man. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10, he said, "God have raised us to be manifold witnesses to the principalities and powers." So angels can come to take lessons from you. Listen, you are not standing now because you are standing. Let me tell you, you are standing now because you are saturated with the word of God. And that will be the only guarantee of your future. Don't think you'll be standing tomorrow if you are not full of the word of God. I'm telling you, don't assume you will be standing tomorrow. The only guarantee that you will stand tomorrow is if you are saturated with the word of God today. A lot of people thought they were standing until they traveled further. That's when they saw how weak they were. Paul said to Timothy, he said, "When you ordain elders, don't ordain novices. Because when they rise, the devil will cut them off." Some of you, the reason the devil is allowing you is because where you are, there's no proper visage. If he cuts you off now, it will not have a ripple effect on the church. So he's waiting. Your anointing is growing, he's waiting. Your fame is growing, he's waiting. He wants you to be known nationally. Then he will disgrace you publicly so that you will become a reproach to the body of Christ. Many people now will no longer believe in young men. And ask, forget all those young men. Forget them. Forget men. You don't know the injury you have created to the body. Jesus came to Peter and said, "Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed that your faith faileth not. When thou art recovered, strengthen." So sometimes the devil wait for you to become a star. So a man who does not have a word of God in his spirit is a time bomb. The reason he has not fallen is because the devil is waiting for him. At this point, he will not profit darkness if he falls. He can fall now, hide and repent, and there will be no ripple effect. So the devil will wait for him to rise. Even your ordination will be at risk if you have not choked yourself with the word of God. Paul was traveling with John Mark. John Mark was being trained to become an apostle. But when they met controversy on their way, John Mark ran away. He thought he was ready. When they were still in Antioch, he thought, "Oh, come on, I will go for mission." He thought it was about will power and zeal. Anything that is orchestrated from the demonic realm will choke your will. What will keep your will standing is the depth of revelation that he carries. When John Mark traveled with them and saw persecution, the guy said he is not going again. That was the reason Paul and Barnabas entered a sharp argument. And Paul said, "Okay, go." It was at old age John Mark woke up again, and that time he could no longer be an apostle. Paul said, "Call him, he's good for the work of a deacon." So his destiny was truncated because he didn't saturate himself with the word of God. There are many crises you will see, but if you are full of the word of God, those crises will be tools of strengthening your spirit, and they will become stepping stones for raising you in destiny. What will make a crisis either a stumbling block for you or a stepping stone is the quality of the word of God you have in your spirit. This is why men that are full of the word of God, they don't know challenges. Everyone that comes, they know they will go through it. They know. They just know it's a function of time. You don't break them. They can never break. Because everything that should break them, there is a rhema word that comes out of their spirit. And that rhema word becomes a ventilation. But you are in the middle of a crisis. Nothing is coming out of your spirit. So most times you are stranded. The Holy Ghost wants to speak, but there is no word of God in your spirit for him to amplify. This is why the business of the word of God is one of the credentials of a territorial warrior. You can't even be an intercessor unless you are full of the word of God. There is a height you can't climb to in the spirit unless you pray the word. Many believers are bereft of the word of God. And I have met many. I'm talking not just from theory. I have met many. This evening, I will be preaching in Yola. I'm talking to 5,000 people, and I meet them like that every week. Last week, I was in Chapel of Redemption in University of Calabar. I meet them every week. I know what I'm telling you. Many believers are bereft of the word of God. They meet you and they tell you little things. The reason is because their senses have not yet been exercised. Paul says, whoever desires milk is a babe and is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He said, but strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. A lady wants to marry and she thinks it's by pouring anointing oil on her head. What does God say about marriage? She is one, not prepared for marriage. Two, she doesn't even know what marriage is about. She thinks marriage is about two lovers coming together and making love. So she's looking for the guy that has a broad chest. Meanwhile, purpose is not in view. She doesn't even know why she's born. And then she wants the prophet to come and mobilize her and to damage the destiny of a young man who is gathered together. Or a vagabond, a young man who has not gathered his life. He just tumbles into church because he sees the lady serving God. And now say, this is my wife. Are you all right? The lady that God is preparing for, the man who will change the nation. You come out from your beer parlor with your scattered life because you saw her and she greeted you, welcome sir. You don't know how foolish some men are because they get respectful and say, good day sir. Ah, how are you? What is your name? Who told you I came here to tell you my name? Many young people are bereft of the word of God. They don't have it in their spirit. This is why we are facing too many crises. Most of the things you call crises are actually designed for your promotion. But the problem is that there's no stamina in your spirit. So you want to become a man that can affect the territory. Begin by saturating yourself with the word of God. And remember, this thing is a matter of what? Nature. He said, let us make man in our own image. After our likeness, let them have dominion. The way you establish the nature of God back in your soul is by saturating yourself with the word of God. A point comes when you think like God. You act like God and then you do like God. Nature. You reign. You ancient Zion's king. Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign. You ancient Zion's king. Kadosh, Kadosh. So Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So if you are not living by the word of God, maybe you may be an amoeba. God will not, the only proof that you are the man he's created is that what? You will live by the word of God. You may see on earth that Lord, the men are calling upon you. When they check from heaven, you may be a crayfish. If you are a man, they prove that you are a man, you will do what? You will not live by bread alone. You will live by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hope you know that when the man fell, God came and said, he cursed the serpent. And he said, the serpent shall live on dust. He will feed on dust. Do you know who the serpent deals with now? It's men. Because the moment the man fell from the nature of God, he became dust. That's where he came from. He's dust. Apart from God, he's dust. That's why the devil buffets a lot of people like puppets. The only thing that will make you not to be a dust is for the nature of God to return to your soul. So the devil comes and knocks them with high blood pressure. He kicks them with frustration. You want to become invincible in the realm of God, feed on the word of God. Else, you will be the food of the serpent. Dust. Man shall not live by bread alone, by every word, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. Secondly, is what we call prevailing prayers. Sit down, brother. Prevailing prayers. I'm showing you these things and I'm keeping it very calm. I don't want to act spiritual about it. These things should be your everyday life. But these are the things that many believers are not doing. And I'm not just saying believers, pastors. There are many men of God today. They don't have any business with the word of God. They are philosophers. They are philosophers. Most of the things they are telling you, they heard it in movies. Some of the things they are telling you, they heard somebody else say it. A man preaches for 2 hours and then you ask him, sir, this scripture, where did you get it from? He doesn't know. He was listening to another preacher and the preacher quoted it. So he came and quoted the same thing. And then you think he's strong. Go to him with your challenges. Then you know that he's in a more confusion than you are. His state is worse than your own. He's only an orator. So he's giving expression and vocabulary to the voice of another man. Meanwhile, when the spirits come to check, they will go to the source where the revelation comes from. They will honor it. So the sons of Sceva came and said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. They say, wait, we know the name of Jesus is powerful, but we don't know you. You are not in the lexicon of the spirit. Where we check, there's no authority backing your name. He said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are thou? That Jesus you are quoting is strong in the mouth of Paul, but you, we don't know by what means you are quoting it. The same way we preach today, you pick 3 messages, you cut from here, cut from here, cut from here, and then you come and give expression to the message of 3 different people. When the spirit comes, they won't hear you. It's the voice of the man they are hearing. So when you want to do spiritual legislation, they will kick you out. You have no place in Zion. Because God himself will come and say, Adam, where art thou? You are not in the spirit. We can't find you. This thing you are talking about is a business of songs. And when we checked, you are not there. Where are thou? Where are thou? What are you saying? Who is talking? Who is talking? We are hearing a volume actually, but it's the voice of Bishop Oedipo we are hearing. We can't find who is talking. So the demon will come and help you and go away. Well, since, as far as I checked, the man who is talking is not here. Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. We have become a generation of activities, men of activities, but there's no proof. The reason is because we are not following the way, the patterns that the fathers have laid. In those days, people will sit down and do Bible study for 6 hours. They could talk scriptures into the night. Paul was teaching and he taught into the night. A man fell down, died. Eutychus. He came back, carried him, brought him back to life. They went back and continued teaching. Here we come to church, we want to hear, hey, everybody's dancing. And all the dance we are dancing are the same dances that Davido invented. We don't know why we are weak. Our philosophies are what? They are born from Hades. You know, I showed you what darkness is yesterday. I told you darkness is a civilization. Darkness is a system and darkness is a government. The civilization of darkness have colonized the church so deep it has eaten into the fabric of the souls of men. You see a preacher doing something, you think he's just being excellent. You will not know that that preacher is actually acting like the American president. That's where he learned packaging from. Civilizations. But if we travel into the spirit, we will find our own pattern. We will find our own blueprint. Because when God created you, your whole dimension was there. That's when you will know how to blow the trumpet of your ordination. There's a principle of gleaning. You start by following people, but a point comes when you travel to a point, your own identity breaks out. So the disciples were following Jesus. After a while, Peter became an evangelical apostle. So Peter will walk like this. His shadow will heal the sick. John was not healing the sick like that, but he knew his own dimension. Did you notice when Evangelist Ikechukwu gave an illustration 2 days ago, I was overwhelmed. When they came to the beautiful gate in Acts chapter 3, and the man was begging, Peter said, look on us. That means we are apostles. Say, silver and gold we don't have, but look on what? Us. Then when Peter wanted to minister to the man, he didn't say, silver and gold we don't have. He didn't say, such as we have.
He says, such as I. You are looking on us, but my own dimension is what I want to give you. So sometimes we come to church, we think we are all the same. It's a lie. If you are quoting people and following people, you will not have your dimension. He said, look on us. But he says, such as I have, give I unto you. He didn't say, such as me and John have. He didn't say, such as we have. Such as what? I'm sure of the one I carry. They followed Jesus as 12 disciples. A point came, Peter became what? An evangelical apostle. So he will come out of prayer. And then his shadow was healing the sick. There were 12 disciples going. That was his dimension. John became a prophetic apostle. So John will write a book and say, if you read this book, you are already blessed. You don't need to do what is in the book. If you read it, you are blessed. Dimension. They traded with the word of God until they found themselves. You may begin by following and copying a man, but if it is true that you are growing in the spirit, a point will come when you will find your own trumpet. When I started, if I talk, you think it's Apostle Adam Messiah. But he taught us principles, and as I followed the principle, a point came, I found myself. I am still submitted to him because he is my fountain, but I found myself. The goal is not to clone people to become like one man. The goal is for people to discover who they are in God. And then through corporate alignment, we can receive stature in Zion. But men are not growing. We are babes. Many people are still wearing pampers in the spirit, but they have been in church for 15 years. To grow, the word of God must become your food. If you don't eat this word, you will not grow. That's what I'm saying. There is no magic about it. And if you don't grow, it's a problem. See the problem of not growing. You may be a child, you are still enjoying yourself. You know, children always ask, Mommy, bread. You say, okay, take. I want to sleep now. Okay, come and sleep. You will think. The problem with being a child is that in warfare, you will be cut off. You can enjoy childhood until there is war. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 2 verse 18, it said Rachel was weeping for her children because they were not. You know what happened? They were slaughtered. It's an abomination to be a child in warfare. That's the crisis of not growing. It's a curse to be a child in the middle of war. So if you don't grow, what you have done is that you have set yourself up for destruction. This is why you must trade with this thing. It's not just that you will lose out of ordination, but in the day of warfare, you will be the first casualty. The victims of war are primarily women and children. You need to grow. And the devil knows the ones that are eating and growing. When you call for prayer vigil, you will not see anybody. But if you call for a feast, everybody comes in their best gown. See when the praise and worship is going on. People will be running to the altar. Ho, 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 ho. But when you say pray, suddenly the energy dissipates. Some people will yawn 30 times in 5 minutes. You see babes. If you want to censor babes in the church, come during the time of prayer. But we must grow. We must grow. We must grow. Tell somebody we must grow. If we must affect our territory, we must what? The second precursor is what? Prolonged or protracted or prevailing prayers. You know, the first time I met Apostle Arume, I almost turned back and went. He said, if you are 20 years old and you have not prayed in tongues for 10 hours, he said, you are a clown. See, there is something long prayers does to your soul. You will not know how weak you are until you begin to trade on the altar. The altar reveals to you your weaknesses. And what it does is that it develops you so that your weaknesses can become your strength. That's why Jesus came in Luke chapter 18 verse 1. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means the only way a man can be restored to be like God is by prayer. It is man's default mode to pray. We were created for prayer because prayer is a spiritual infrastructure for connecting essentially to God. So a man who does not pray does not understand how to relate with a spirit. He may study about that spirit from books, but for him to come into the environment of a spirit and learn the ways of that spirit, he must engage that spirit experientially.
Prayer is the only way that is available to us to interact with the Spirit of God until we become like Him. So Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. But there are many believers who are not praying. You may think you are strong. If you want to check your energy in the spirit, go and begin to pray. You may bring a macho man here who can lift weight for 10 hours. And then all his muscles are like this. You now say, this one is strong. Then you bring a lanky person who is an intercessor. He says, okay, pray in tongues for 2 hours. After 15 minutes, the macho man will fall down. But that's when the guy who is lanky is charging. After 3 hours, he begins to jump like this. After 5 hours, he's walking like this. When he has hit 10 hours, that time all his spiritual senses have activated. At that time, he becomes a spirit. He can look at you and tell you that, Kai, don't travel tomorrow. You didn't tell him. Something has activated. He has picked his tools in the spirit. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. That means there is a strength in the spirit that is not natural. You can begin with God with your natural strength, like you came to church by ATP. But for you to do the business we are doing in the altar, you need to receive another kind of strength. He said in Isaiah 40 verse 28, he said, have you not heard? Has it not been said to you that the everlasting God fainted not, neither is he weary? That means when they check the lexicon of the spirit, the only being that does not have the ability to faint or be weary is God. But they also went further because there's a wisdom. We have checked the whole realms. Only God has the ability to continue operating and he doesn't get weary or faint. The reason is because he's the El Shaddai. As the El Shaddai, he's the multi-breasted one. He sustains all and is sustained by none. Depletion is not consistent with his nature. He said, have you not heard? Because this thing is popular in the spirit realm. All the spirits are aware that God doesn't know how to grow weak. But he now said, there is a technology that he made available to humankind. He said, they that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. Something happens to them. A dimension from God is downloaded. So they mount up with wings like eagles. He says, suddenly, a man, because before he gave you the contract, he said, even the young men shall be weary and shall utterly fall. That means among the human race, the young men are the most strongest. He said, but compared with the Spirit of God, the young men have a destiny of fainting and becoming weary. But whether you are young, old, or weak, there's a technology in God. It's a day that wait upon the Lord. They mount up with wings like the eagles. Something now happens to them. He said, when they run, they will not be weary. When they walk, they will not faint. Why? They have become like God. So the possibilities that are locked up in God is also possible to operate in a man. The thing is not because the man is young or old. What will make the dimensions of God find expression in a man is his wisdom to take advantage of prayer. Because when he begins to pray, what makes God who he is and gives him his peculiarity, those same dimensions can begin to express themselves through a man. So you can see a man of 50 years, he's praying in tongues from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And then you now say, okay, if Baba can do it, me too, I can do it because I'm a young man. So you now came. You will wake up around 12:30. Baba is still praying. You see, there was a young preacher, Apostle told us. He went to see one of the fathers of the faith. And when he came, the man of God said, okay, we'll pray in the night. So around 10, the man of God said, okay, let's pray. So the young guy stood up. The roof of the house was shaking like this. After 3 hours, the young man went, and he slept off. He woke up around 1 a.m. Baba will just walk and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Around 3 a.m., he woke up. Baba was, thank you, Jesus. His prayer was going deeper. When the young man woke up around 6 a.m., Baba was still praying. Around 8 a.m., he saw Baba in the bathroom showering. Thank you, Jesus. And Baba went to the office like that. The man now came and knelt down to be imparted. If your advantage is your gift and your charisma, you are weak. You will not know until you enter into the battle arena. Your advantage is not in your body. It's in the mountains of Zion. It is prayer that will take you there. Sometimes we say this thing humorously so people can relate. My sisters, when we were young, they were beauty queens. In my house, I don't know why God did it like this, but me, I'm ugly. Maybe it's that ugliness that made me to pursue God. When they were 24, 25, all their shoes were tall like this. That was when Brazilian weave was raining. They would go and fix one, 32,000. And then they would be walking like this. When I say, what type of shoe is this? They say, it's choker. That time, every man that saw them rushed to them. Until they became, one became 30. The other two became 28. That time, they now began to pray for marriage. Until one became 34. The other two became 32. That was when they realized that marriage is not a function of beauty. They now knew that the economy of marriage works by favor. You know, when they were young, they couldn't get the wisdom. They thought beauty was an advantage. Until they began to grow old, they now knew that there's no advantage in beauty. They know that advantage is favor. Beauty is on your face and on your body. Favor is in Zion. So you notice all the ugly girls around. When they are 24, they are married. And then you see the kind of men that marry them. One fair guy comes from Chevron. And then he marries her. And then you, who was the boss queen, you now discover that the next time you people met, they are coming with two children, three children. They are going for vacation in Canada. Then when they go back home, they begin to cry. They begin to cry. Beauty is still intact, but favor is still what? In Zion. So if you want to travel from beauty to favor, it's by prayer. You can be a preacher, you think it's about oratory. I did oratory for 13 years. The worst part was when I bagged my master's degree. That time, if I want to preach, I will add chemistry. I will be preaching, I will be talking about quantum mechanics because I did one of the hardest parts of chemistry. I will be talking about the mysteries of light, the laws of theoretical physics. I was talking, I love mysteries those days. I will come, I will talk to you about the angelic realm. I will talk about the mysteries that govern the heavenly operation. I will tell you about the 12 civilizations of heaven. But when I preached, my honorarium was 2,000. I was preaching in one location for 13 years. Until I understood that this thing is God that makes men. So I shut down, I began to pray. I began to pray. And when I was praying, I was not receiving answers. As I prayed, what I was receiving were laws. God was introducing me to all kinds of laws because he was chiseling my soul so that he can conduct himself. I didn't know that pride, arrogance had choked every chamber of my soul that the energy of God should flow through. I was speaking English, but I was not speaking spirit and life. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life. The chambers of my soul was claw, pride, immorality, lust. Everything was there. I will be preaching and I will look at someone. Something will happen in my mind. This girl is fine. I didn't know what was going on. All of those things were impeding the flow of life. So when I began to pray, I now saw dimensions of prayer that was more than answers. I saw there is a dimension of prayer called reward. Jesus said, when you pray in secret, your heavenly Father that sees in secret will reward you. He didn't say he will answer your prayers. I saw that reward was bigger than answers to prayer. The things I was praying for invitations, but I didn't see answers. I was receiving rewards, and rewards came as laws. The Holy Ghost put laws. Sometimes I go to a place, I labor, they will appreciate others and forget me. I will go back and cry. After a long time, it became normal. What I didn't know was that long suffering had been activated in my soul. The last one that happened, my friend that we were living together, both of us were sons of Apostle Arumi Osai. This is a good guy. He didn't do this thing to intimidate me, but God was moving him. And what he did was that I was a master's degree, a graduate that had a master's degree. This guy was an undergraduate. He was a pastor of a youth church. I was to be ordained a pastor in one of the global churches in this country because I was charismatic. God told me to join him. When I went to him, the guy went and put me in the ushering department. And he told me, this church will grow by rank. I said, what do you mean? Me and you are Apostle Arumi's sons. Am I coming to your church to grow? As I wanted to say, the Holy Ghost vanished my mouth like this. I did it for 1 year, 8 months. That was when I discovered I was very arrogant. Because it's an honor to sweep the house of God, regardless of who you are. I didn't know all of those lessons. But when God was done teaching me, God now came to me and said, this year, I will begin to announce you. The word was casual. I didn't fall under the power. What did he say? This year, I will begin to announce you. On my birthday, he said, cut 6 of your clip. The same old messages that have lasted, that didn't work.
He said, cut 6 of those clips and put on Telegram. And now cut it. My friend, a young man who wouldn't let me rest, Samson Osono, he came and collected it. And he tagged it, Puritan Capsules. And he dropped it online. In 14 days, I received invitation from 17 nations. 14 days was more important than 13 years. Because a spirit was sitting on the voice. I saw the powers of prayer beyond everything that you can imagine. A spirit came and said, "What? I will begin to announce you." My honorarium changed from 2,000 to 150,000. So the job that God stopped me from working, what I earn in a month is 4 times what I would have earned, either as a lecturer or as a naval officer. I got a window to become a naval officer. That was my ambition. God said, "Don't go there." My people could not understand. I thought you say you are looking for a job. Now you have a job in where you dream of. God said, "Don't go." Now, in 3 weeks, I turned down 30 invitations. I now knew that open door is not a function of intelligent preaching. The same way I knew transformation was not a function of doctrinal exegesis. It is the spirit that you communicate. But before you can communicate a spirit, something will happen to your soul. That's why I told you, some of you, what you call disgrace is actually a school of the spirit. Some of you, what you call setback is a school of the spirit. There is something in you called pride. It will not allow the voice of God to be heard. Every time you are talking, your pride stands like this. It blocks God and people can't see God. And God wants you to communicate him. So what he will do is that he will break you. He will break you. When Jacob was traveling, he was traveling with the Abrahamic blessing. He was the only custodian of the Abrahamic blessing on earth. So by reason of ordination, he should prosper. But there was no way God could walk with him. When he touched the altars that Abraham built, prayer rose up to heaven and an angel showed up. He broke his thigh bone and he said, "As a prince, thou hast power with God and hast prevailed." So the reason the guy will rule among men was not because he carried the blessing. It was because he became a prince. He was broken. The same song you sing can announce you to the nations. The hair you make can announce you to the nations. The only difference is for a spirit to alight on it. You can sell pure water and be a millionaire. The difference is for a spirit to alight on it. But before a spirit will fraternize with a man, he must accept the government of that spirit. This is where men are made. This is where stories of people are changed. But all of these things are born by prayer. If you don't pray, you can't perceive the windows of heaven. The atmosphere of Zion cannot crystallize on your soul. So every season in Jesus' life, he activated it by prayer. The Bible said he went to the wilderness. The Holy Ghost led him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But when he was going to the wilderness, he changed the season. He altered it. That was a season of temptation. But by prayer, Jesus turned it to a season of promotion. So when he was coming down from what should be the mountain of temptation, he became the mountain of announcement. So he left the mountain of temptation. He came down. The Bible says his fame went abroad. According to heaven, it was a season of temptation. But prayer changed it to a season of announcement. You did not notice that when they were at the marriage feast in Canaan, the wine was finished. They thought it was time for scarcity. Mary came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "It is not yet my time." But Mary said, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." That means if you can pray, you can change your seasons. The promotion that is for 5 years, you can change it and make it next week. If you can invest enough prayer to Zion, prayers can alter your season and change it for good. Jesus changed the season of temptation into a season of promotion. It's a mystery in Zion. Prayer is deeper than everything you think it is. You will be on one spot if you don't master the art of praying. If prayer is not your operating system, you will remain on one spot. Even the things that were your advantage, the seasons will pass, you will not use them. It is only prayer that sets the coordinates of Zion aright, so that everything that constitutes the advantage of a man can come into place and the purposes of God can be born. Only men of prayer can discern seasons and maximize them. When Jesus was born, the Pharisees were in the temple reading the laws of Moses and reciting the Torah, but there were 3 men that were praying. One of them was a woman. Her name was Anna, the prophetess. Another one was Simeon, the prophet. They were praying. The moment Jesus came, the Bible said, Simon went into the temple by the Spirit. The Spirit himself took him there. This is the season. Because he knew the intelligence of prayer. John showed out from the wilderness. And when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." How did he know him? Because he was separated in prayer. Some of you, your season will come, you will not recognize it. You will think it's a season of disgrace. That's the time. That's what God have arranged for your glory. The reason God shrouded it in mystery is because if it is common, people can know it and take it away from you. The Bible said the mysteries. He said God have hid these things in mystery for your glory. But if you don't pray, you can't discern it. The things that should be your promotion, sometimes they come like insult. Sometimes they come like disgrace. It will take the eyes of discernment to see it. But the eyes of discernment are born on the altars of prayer. Abraham was trusting God for 25 years. The day the child came, he came as three men. Walking past his house and he said, "Sirs, sirs." He knew that these are not men. These are not men. He said, "Come into the house." They refused. He insisted. He said, "Sit down. Let me make supper." They refused. He insisted. When he fed them as they were leaving, God turned to him and said, "In the next time of life, your wife Sarah will be with child." Faith of 25 years was consummated by a moment of discernment. The goal is prayer. You don't pray. When your answers come from heaven, you may not recognize it. This is why many believers are backward and they cannot make impact in their generation. If a man can pray, the man can turn the tides of heaven and cause the rain to fall in dry season. Elijah told the king that rain will fall, but the heavens were dry. He went on his knees, and the Bible says seven times he sent his servant, "Go and look," until he formed the feast by prayer. What appeared in heaven was not there. He formed it by prayer. He created that season by force, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He maketh dynamic power available. They tell you your life will not work. They are joking. The only reason your life will not work is because you don't know the gate of prayer. If you know the intelligence of prayer, anything you want can happen. If only you can stay long enough. If you can stay long enough. When Elijah told the king rain will fall, the cloud was dry. But he knows that he knows how to pray. I know how to pray. Anything I say, I can make it happen on the altar. So he went to the altar. He created rain on the altar. He created it. He created rain on the altar. Nothing is difficult for a believer if only he can pray. Your destiny can turn around in 2 weeks. The plague and the crisis you have experienced for 10 years, you can change it in 2 weeks. They told John Austin's wife she was going to die in 3 days. She gathered 40 scriptures and was tonguing on those scriptures. 40 days became 3 months. It became 8 months. It became 10 years. She changed her story by prayer. Hannah came to Shiloh year in, year out. Nothing was happening. Everything she knew to do, she had given the seeds, she has given the sacrifices. Nothing was working. She left everybody and went to prayer. She prayed until her lips were stammering. The priest saw her and thought she was drunk because of the depth she was praying from. And that day her story changed. People who are wise understand that prayer is one of the most potent infrastructure of downloading the dimensions of heaven. You can bet your season by prayer. You can create spiritual possibilities by prayer. You can end temptations by prayer. You can activate seasons by prayer. But men are not praying. We are looking up to people to change our story. The secret is prayer. That's why Jesus dwelt on his knees all his life. They saw him healing the sick every day. They didn't tell him to teach them how to heal the sick. They said, "Teach us how to pray." That means Jesus prayed more than everything in his life. They saw everything happening around him. They knew that it was prayer that bettered it. So they asked for the grace to pray. He said they looked up to him and they were radiant. Their faces were radiant and they were not ashamed. How many can look up to him? Your story can turn around. You can change your territory. If only you pray enough until God is born on your inside, then authority is conferred on your walls. When you come to the territory, it's a time to decree. It's no longer a time to pray. But you would have prayed at the backside. Men who changed their walls were men of prayer. They were locked away in caves because they knew that only when you touch heaven can you change earth. They knew. Daniel was not in the palace. A hand came and wrote on the wall.
And when they needed to know the meaning, they went and invoked the man of prayer. They knew that that kind of wisdom could not be crystallized in the palace. Only men that talk with spirits can get such wisdom. And when he showed up, he said, "Mene, mene. This hand came from where I dwell. The city where I travel to in the spirit, that's where this hand came from. I don't need a teacher to read it. I know this language. Where I go to heaven, this is the language they speak." He said, "Mene, mene. Take care of our sin. Mene, mene." Before the guy even he read the writing, he went around and made a mockery of the king. He said, "Your father, God gave him the kingdom and gave him power and authority. He raised the kingdom and the dynasty, touched the ends of the earth." He said, "It was handed over to you and you came to worship the God of stone and iron." He said, "Therefore is this hand come. Mene, mene. Take care of our sin." He said, "You have been weighed on the balances." How did he know how men are weighed? Who taught him that there is a system in the spirit for weighing men? The errors of men are weighed. And they say, "Your kingdom has been divided from your hand and it has been given to the Medes and the Persians." That night the king fell because a man came from the spirit realm. You want to dwell in heaven, the gateway is prayer. You don't pray, you can't be relevant. There's not one man that changed this world without prayer. Even when God looked at the earth and he said he will destroy everything in the earth, one man changed, made God to change his mind. His name was called Noah. He said Noah found grace with God. You will think Noah was lucky. The Bible says God looked at the earth. He said he will destroy man and beast. Nobody was qualified. But there was something Noah was doing. It was when Noah came out of the ark in Genesis chapter 8 verse 20 that we knew what Noah was doing, that made Noah develop the stature to cause God to change his mind. He said, "Noah raised an altar unto the Lord." So one man was more important than the whole world. It's possible for one man to save a territory, but he will need to know the dynamics of altars. He must know the ways of prayer. He may not be popular, but he can sit in his bedroom and he say, "Lord, give the earth one more year of mercy." And then you will think it's the number of churches that is making things happen. The Bible said in Colossians 4:12, Epaphras is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayer that you may stand perfect. That means a whole nation was standing perfect because Epaphras was praying. God rose up in Exodus 32. He said, "I will wipe out Israel." How about the covenant he had with Abraham? It didn't count. And Moses will rise up in intercession and say, "How do you want it to be heard?" That's a man talking with God. Men are not the same, my brother. Men of prayer are ranking men in Zion. They consult with spirits. They talk to angels. And they give commands from heaven. How do you want it to be heard? That you, the everlasting God, deliver them from captivity and destroy them in the wilderness. He said, "Repent." I thought it's God that tell men to repent. Rank in the spirit. You can come and speak over your family and things will change. This is what the elders of old knew. So when they bless their children, they don't give them cattle. You will hear that Abraham was old and stricken in age. The Lord had blessed him in all things. When he wanted to settle Isaac, he didn't give him cattle. He said, "El Shaddai keep you." He spoke. That word he spoke, even inflation cannot define it. When Isaac wanted to bless Jacob, he didn't give him a cattle. He said, "I bless you with the dew of heaven. I bless you with corn and wine." He gave him the seal of authority that he had in the spirit. So Isaac, anywhere he goes, he will prosper. Anywhere Jacob goes, he will prosper. A man of prayer was talking from heaven. They could curse you. And if you like, get a job with Chevron, you will not prosper. His first son, Reuben. He said, "You are the beginning of my strength." That means by reason of nature, you should be a mighty man. He said, "But as unstable as water, you will not prosper." He cursed the guy, and the guy, no matter what he did, he couldn't prosper. Until another man of prayer came, and Moses entered into heaven. And he climbed into where Jacob was standing when he cursed Reuben. And he said, "Let Reuben live and not die." They changed systems by prayer. They changed civilizations by prayer. They altered territories by prayer. These men don't talk. They talk after they have prayed. You can walk to your family today and say, "I banish death," and nobody will die. You can come to your family today and look at your brother that graduated from the university and cannot get a job, and you say, "You are settled." And in 1 week, his story can change if only you will pray enough.
There is a place in Zion where men are decorated with the badge of authority. But only men of prayer can travel there. Are you rise up and pray for 1 minute?